We are now live and ready to start with the current class for transpersonal energy healing, and take it away, Laura.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. Great. Welcome back, everybody. It's so great to see you all. I would love to just start with our brief 30-second or less check-in because people are still joining in before we launch into the material. So I'd love to just ask you to share how you're doing right now, any aha moments or challenges that have shown up in preparing for this class, the Endurer section, or anything else that that may be present for you right now. So we'll just do a brief touch-in. And Michelle, would you be willing to get us started?
Sure.
Okay, so great.
This last week's been a lot better. The week before, we talked about I've had a lot of emotional stirring. Thank you, Laura. I worked with Laura on some clearing, and I think that was a nice breakthrough, kind of clearing that thickness that was there. It was good. And other than that, Endure, I'm very interested in it. While I think I don't know if this is my primary, I do have a very close relationship for this maybe. And there's, anyway, it's very interesting. I'm looking forward to talking more about it.
Great. Thanks, Michelle. Wonderful. Taryn, want to check in? Can you unmute yourself?
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
Dad.
Doing fine and feel ready for today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you, Taryn. Tony.
Hello, everyone. I guess physically I'm a little tired, so I'm going to full disclosure, I'm a little tired this morning. But this week I had a lot of aha moments with this Enduring chapter because many of my clients show up as the self-negator, self-sabotage. So it has helped me to hone in on how to communicate a little better. So this was really an awesome chapter for me. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Tony. Yeah, this is a really challenging personality pattern to deal with, especially if it's our own, which we all have a little of it at least. But yes, there are definitely some people who have a very strong endurer pattern. So yeah, thanks for that. Louisa. You're still on mute.
I'm mute. Okay.
There we go.
No, I can't. Okay. I'm using a new device, and this one will not show me where to unmute and mute myself.
Oh, well, you did it. We're good. We got you now.
Okay. Somebody did it for me because I didn't touch anything.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, this week was a whole lot better than last week because last week I felt I was in turmoil because I was thinking, am I helping people because for me? And the thing is that was clarified in the last class. And then I found out that no, I don't, it doesn't bother me when they don't follow instructions. I feel, hey, that's their eyes, that's their health, that's them. All I can do is help them if they don't want to. I realize it does not, I don't lose sleep over that. I'm more strict with myself in me finding, doing the things right, then I get upset with me when I mess up. But it doesn't bother me if somebody else messes up because I don't take that as my responsibility. Now, the other thing is that I still haven't found a strong pattern because I seem to have a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's coming. Yours is coming.
Okay.
Not to worry.
I was going like, is there people that don't have patterns and they just have a mixture? Because I was saying, you know, I have a little bit of everything. I enjoy silence. I enjoy that, but I'm not truly anything yet. So I just was going to find out. I guess I have to be patient and wait.
It'll come. Thank you, Louisa. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. You're welcome. Good. And it'll all make sense when it does. You'll see.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Valerie.
Okay. You need to mute me because I don't know how to do it.
Okay. Valerie, you're on.
This was a big breakthrough week for me. I can't really say it relates to any specific pattern because, like Louisa, I'm relating to pretty much everything in at least partially. There's just a lot of synchronicities going on right now. And with Dr. Rita Marie's event this past weekend on Sunday, it really put the pressure on me to consent to be an ERC coach, which was like death for me. And I had a great session with Kimberly on Wednesday and decided I'm going to do it. And the really neat thing is right now I'm more relaxed about it than I've ever been. And I've just committed to it. So that's a huge thing for me. And it feels really good not to feel like it's death.
That is so great. First of all, thank you for sharing that. And it's so true that when we face our pattern, it does feel like we're facing death. I mean, it's that scary and that terrifying and that freeing when we break through that. So good for you and good work, you both of you, you and Kimberly. That's great that you were able to make that. And now you're excited about it. So that's beautiful just because you have tons to offer. So now you can free that gift of yours up to be able to realize that and be of service. So thank you, Valerie, for sharing that. Good triumph. Anne. Whoops, you're back on mute there. There we go.
Got it. I was really interested in the enduring pattern because I did see parts of myself in that. And I was married to an endurer for 25 years. So it felt very familiar. So I'm just kind of chewing on that. But I've had a good week.
Great. Yeah, we're going to go deep into that today. So thank you for sharing that. It should be helpful. Good. Kimberly.
So I had a very intense couple weeks around the merging pattern, and it was really very clear to me that I had done a lot of work around healing that pattern, but my body was still holding a little of that collapse. And it was very clear to me that to continue to move forward, I can't hold my body that way anymore. That even if I healed some of the emotional survival strategy, if I go back here with my physical body, I'll go back into the pattern. That was a really profound week for me, and now I'm very much committed to holding my body differently to reflect where I'm at now.
That's so great. And, you know, I remember, you know, you're bringing me back to memory of when I was in college, actually, and I was studying dance and movement for actors. And, you know, we were taught how to find our alignment, and I was like, what are you talking about? I can't walk around sticking my chest out. I felt like they were telling me to put my breasts out, you know. But all it was really actually having good posture. And I felt so exposed and so vulnerable. And that was the pattern. So I love that you made that connection and sharing that with all of us, because it's really true. We really do have to hold ourselves quite differently physically to help maintain and support that new pattern. So good job. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, I'm a little bit late. I've had a really, really busy morning. I'm just trying to land because I've got a retreat happening and I just had a wedding start. So it's been really, really busy this morning. So I'm just kind of catching up and trying to get myself grounded into what's happening and into this frame of mind. So I missed what we're sharing actually, because I wasn't here for the beginning.
Yeah. Just a little check-in, any aha moments or anything that's come up for you in the moment about this pattern. And we really didn't do any grounding yet. We will do that in a minute. So you'll be able to join us for that. So that's good.
I'm still just getting familiar with the patterns. So, and I see myself in a lot of the, you know, pieces of myself in them. So I'm just still learning and kind of moving through everything.
Okay, great. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Rosie.
Good morning.
Morning.
You know, I haven't even had time to think about me this week at all or anything. I sent Kimberly a text this morning, and I'm still thrown off, Kim. I'm not sure if I'm right or whatever, but anyway, there's just, well, the big thing of moving, which seems endless because the place we're moving to is about an hour and a half away from the house, but we're not completely moving. We're keeping both houses, so trying to decide what goes where. Anyway, needless to say, I'm in Las Vegas right now, and I don't even know how I got here. So, I mean, I'm not lost. This was planned from a long time ago, but that's it. That's all I got today. I mean, it's earlier here than it would be normally in Texas, and I know that the whole time thing, you get 2 hours back, 2 hours when you come over here, but it doesn't feel that way. I feel like this is a crack of dawn.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really glad that you, with all of that you have going on, that you joined us today, Rosie, and hopefully it'll help you ground a little bit.
Oh, I look forward.
Good, good. Thank you. Dorothy.
But I'm here.
Great. Yay.
Thank you.
There I go. Hi. I spent a lot of time in the merging pattern, looking at my body language. I move my head forward. I hunch my shoulders. I have a really severe curvature of the spine now because of this behavior. And I'm also very big-breasted. So that whole combination, I just seem to, well, I hate to say this, but it's like looking at the way a gorilla sits. You know, they're all big up top and hunched over and allowing myself to spread back, you know, and it hurts both spiritually and physically to do it. Mm-hmm. But I have to remind myself that that's the way I can move forward. Mm-hmm. And, with the enduring pattern, I'm a great resistor. Mm-hmm. I know. I really hold back and I walk away and I procrastinate. Those are my biggest traits. So those are things that I know I need to focus on. But I did accomplish something, and Lynn, I finished my painting. So I'll send it on to you. That was a big accomplishment. Many, many hours, much rework, never good enough. Never good enough. And I finally said, aha, it's done.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
And I love all your awarenesses that you just shared with us, you know, which for, again, for the enduring pattern, that's really an achievement right there. Even to be aware, self-aware of what we are feeling and sensing. I love that you're aware of the musculature and what, you know, and the pain that you're noticing in your body to try to open up and expand. And that's really right on target and normal and natural and, you know, and challenging to walk towards. So good for you. Thank you, Dorothy, for that. Mary Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
I have been noticing boundaries in relationships, and I guess what I'm noticing mostly is other people setting their boundaries, it seems like they're sending them very strongly, and I don't know if that's in reaction to me. I'm assuming it is in some way. But anyway, I've been adjusting to that, and it's been a bit of a challenge. But the last couple of days, I'm feeling really positive and noticing the power of connection to people that I really do connect well with. And when I am putting myself in that frame of connection. So I'm good. I'm feeling really good.
That's great. I love that you're bringing up boundaries, because that's such a big piece of this structure, of really of all of them, but especially of this one, and that you're noticing them and paying attention to them and, you know, and asking those great questions, you know, am I evoking this, or am I, how do I want to respond to it? All really, really great awarenesses. So thanks for that, Mary Lynn.
Thank you.
Rita Marie.
All right. So Mary Lynn took the words right out of my mouth. The one thing I'm noticing over the last few weeks is really setting some boundaries. I removed myself from my team chat. I said, if you have an urgent need, contact me. Otherwise, use somebody else on the team to handle it. And I've set those boundaries. I've caught myself in doing somebody else's job and then going, wait a minute, that's not my job. Here's how to get this answered. And so it's feeling really good. And in terms of setting those boundaries, like every day I need to meditate and exercise. And if I don't meditate and exercise, I'm not taking care of me. Sure, I got the food down. I've been doing great with that for years, decades. But when I don't meditate and exercise every day and take time for me, that's not giving, and sleep. So I'm putting boundaries on all of that. Went to bed at 10:15 last night.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, exciting.
Great. Thank you, Rita Marie. That's wonderful. Excellent. Self-care. I love it. Steph.
Hey. So I've just been noticing, like, these patterns are not the ones that I really feel strongly am displaying right now, but I'm still doing them. So I'm noticing little signatures of my behavior. I'm not sure if I can quite articulate it. I had to clarify some stuff with Jeanette, and she was super, super helpful, because I get like stuck on little things. And I'm feeling a bit better about that now. Yeah. Cool.
Great.
And I know how to do my homework now. So you'll be getting that.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you, Steph. Janet.
Good morning. I'm on someone else's computer. Just got myself kind of organized here a little bit this morning. And this full moon has really been a real pull on me today. I don't know what it was, but it was a struggle. But the patterns, when I first started, it was very confusing to me. I was trying to put people in them. I was trying to find me in it. And this last time when I read again, it was like reading a story that gave me instructions to look around not only at myself but other people and see if it wasn't focused at me, if I didn't find myself identifying with it, I could see how I could identify with other people that were in that pattern. And that was very interesting to come across. I was riding the ferry from Steph's house over here to a friend's house this yesterday, and I was talking with different people, and I could see some patterns in these people. The physical ones were showing up, and the way they spoke about themselves and negative things. It was a very objective observer point that I was coming from. I was quite amazed at the information that I had and how it just started to come together, where before I was really struggling with so much information and wanting to deal with it, and I kind of just let go, and it just kind of started coming back in. So that's been a very interesting last week for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I'm glad you've got the objective observer on it. That's really good. That'll help a lot to begin to, you know, take them deeper. It takes time to understand these things. It has many layers to it, these personality patterns. So thank you for that. Deborah.
Whoo! Well, between the last 2 weeks, I've had like 2 days off and come home from a trip, and we had to do a fire evacuation at our house for a day and a half. So it came within a quarter mile from our house. So we rescued all the dogs on our hill and the cats, and then we went off to a friend's house, and then they wouldn't let us in, and back into our property for a while. So we finally got in on Friday, and it started on Wednesday. So wow. It's, and we have no cell tower, and I'm in a parking lot right now. So, so I'm complaining a little bit. I think I'm an endurer because everything, all the patterns were coming out and, this week. And, so it's, been a whirlwind, and I'm emotionally tired. So
I would imagine that's really tough. I'm glad everything's yeah. okay. I'm glad that the fire didn't hit you, and it's still very disconcerting. Yeah. Big, big upheaval to have to do that. So yeah. Good. Thank you for putting yourself in your car to be with us.
Yeah, Jan's at home. I mean, we've got a lot of, we got my brother's coming in town, and yesterday nobody can come to our house to do any services. So we, you know, I had to do a lot of it yesterday. So it was just one thing after another. And I'm yeah. just, this is the first time I got to rest is with you guys.
Okay. So. Well, good. I'm glad this will be a rest for you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jeanette, do you want to check in with us?
Hi, everyone. A lot of aha moments for me. This past week I was in a car accident. So, and it was interesting because it was the same scenario that happened to me back in 2006, except I was 7 months pregnant with my daughter and I rolled. This time I just happened to hit, someone pulled out and we made contact, and then I hit two other cars. But from doing this work, because I started in 2007 with Laura and the others, the energy and the difference of what happened to me Tuesday really was so different that I can't really go into it right now. But I had my life flash before me, and death, like you said, Valerie, and all those, what everyone was saying was pretty much what I experienced that day. But I came away from it in a way that I looked at it differently than what I would have back in 2006. So, Laura, thank you, because the work is something that did help me get through that day. But I also just kind of want to let you know that I will be leaving before the end of the class, because I do have to meet with the wrecking company, because my car did get totaled, and I need a vehicle. And today's the only day that my husband has the day off. So I do apologize. When I do leave, I will let you guys know, but I do appreciate all of you, but I will be here for the majority of it, so I'm good.
Thanks, Jeanette, for sharing that. I'm so glad you're okay. So good. Lynn?
I really appreciate everybody's sharing, and can echo so many pieces, especially in terms of boundaries. And my sense of, with emerging, especially of being enough. And right before we had this call, I had a call with two of the coaches that I work with Dr. Rita Marie, and had that that presented to me on a silver platter. Not that that was their intent, but that was how I saw myself receiving it, and then saying, and then having that objective observer look and go, oh, look at how you're feeling. What is that telling you? And so receiving then what they really were giving me, which was a great gift. And so, I was proud of myself that I did not go into my pattern, and just really grateful for this work, in the sense of the realization and the necessity for boundaries of all sorts. Again, much as Rita Marie was talking about, because I know when I create that space within those boundaries, I show up.
Okay, so, thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thanks, Lynn. All right, so let's take a deep breath, everybody. Thank you for that great check-in. Let's take a deep breath, and let's just do a little bit of grounding for a minute. So just scooch to the edge of your chair and tap your feet on the floor. And let's get in our bodies, and let's land here and tap up your legs. tap up your belly. If you want to stand up, you can. Tap the chest. Hit your tush. Bend your knees. Do some breathing. Tap around your belly and waist. Your chest, down the arms. Look at what you're doing. Let's land in our body. And do some deep breathing as you do it. Shake out. Ha! Make some sounds. Get some deep breaths out. Ha! Ha! Let yourself let everything go so you can land. Okay. So go ahead and have a seat. And let's just try to adjust and take a look around at everybody who's here with us today. I want you to see every face, your presence, your consciousness. Try to make yourself so that you can be easily seen by everybody. So it's really important for us to create a safe container that we can all see each other easily and be generous with our way of giving our presence to each other. This helps us to go as deep as possible into the sharing. And just a reminder to really give 100% of your attention to each other. Feel that we have, because indeed we have entered a container of group consciousness here with all of us together, gathered here together. And so that we're really, really present for each other. Remember to breathe. Remember to hold the intensity of what might come up for you or other people, to respect the confidentiality of the nature of what we're sharing. And to notice any reactivity that you have come up inside of yourself or in response to somebody else. And just be curious about it, to be non-judgmental about even any judgment. It sounds paradoxical, but we don't judge the judgments. We notice the judgments. Oh, isn't that interesting? Look at how my inner critic does that. So we want to hold with a gentle, kind hand. There's something else I want to comment that sort of come to my attention from comments, from feedback, from homeworks, from things that have happened. And also we're at class number 3, which is like the peak of the roller coaster, right? So of our 5 sessions, we have 5 sessions. We're at the peak. We're at number 3 today. And what happens now is now that we have started to understand that we have a personality pattern, that we have these tendencies, these historical imprints, then oftentimes what happens is there's this recognition, okay, I do that, I know I do that, I want to stop it. Why can't I stop it? And why can't I stop it right now? And I did the exercises and I read the book and I did it once or I did it twice. Why is it still coming back? Well, if you think about those of you especially who raised children, when you potty trained your kids, you didn't do it overnight. You didn't do it in 2 sessions, probably. You didn't do it in 5 sessions, probably. It probably took a long time and it went in stages. So the same thing is true for us, right? As we are healing, you're healing a developmental need. And we have to do it slowly, and we have to do it patiently, and we have to do it with kindness, and we have to do it. You're reparenting yourself, and so it's kind of confusing to your own brain, because part of your brain's going, no, you can't do that. That's not true. That doesn't make sense. And then another part of your brain is going, but this is what I have to do to heal, right? And there's a whole new prescription coming in that we're trying to integrate into our life and into our lifestyle. So I want to just call that out so that you don't have unrealistic or unkind self-expectations, because you have the adult maturity now that you didn't have in your intellectual understanding, that you didn't have as a kid. But you don't want to couple that with the unkindnesses that you didn't get back then that you need to give yourself now. Make sense? Okay, so take a deep breath, everybody. Breathe. Just do a big sigh of relief. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through the talk today. And then the last thing I'm going to say before we launch into this is that I don't know if this is me and my own limitations, but I find this personality pattern, the endurer, to be one of the most complex And also one of the most challenging to work with as a practitioner or a therapist or a healer because of the developmental need that wasn't met. So I'm going to go to a screen share now and bring us to the PowerPoint. And we're going to start to talk through this. So let's breathe as we go. And let's see what happened here. Oh, why is this not cooperating?
Looks good for me.
Yeah, I'm just not able to advance for some reason until I move it over.
Click slideshow and then from beginning.
Okay.
That'll show it as a slideshow, and then all you have to do is click the bottom of this thing. Yep, there you go.
Okay.
There you go. All you have to click is on there.
Okay. So coming back to what is a personality pattern, just as a reminder, an automatic body-based reaction conditioned by past experiences, a buffer to prevent feelings of overwhelm not relevant to the present situation. Okay, and our goal is to sort out and discover how to distinguish me from you. How to distinguish me from you, to individuate. This was what we were robbed of in this developmental stage. The gifts of it are deeply grounded. We're deeply grounded. We have stamina. We have strength. We have endurance. We're able to create safety for not just ourselves, but huge groups of people. These will be people who whenever there's a crisis, they're great in crisis usually because they're strong, they're balanced, they're stable, and they have great structure and sensitivity. They're airline pilots. They're people who save the day, who are behind the scenes saviors of the day, who just create stability and safety for everybody around them. And our psyche will try to complete any unfinished developmental stage for the rest of our lives. But the problem is most of us don't consciously know that we're trying to do that. So we learn slowly by repetition and as adults to recapture the missing developmental piece requires repetition of these new behaviors that are really, like Valerie pointed out, feels like I'm going to die to face it until we break through that feeling that is really historical and not in present time. Okay, so, whoops, where did I go? Okay, so when did it happen? About approximately 9 months to 2.5 years. And there's a request at this developmental age, and the request is, reflect me. So you can see in this great picture of mommy just reflecting back, mirroring back her child's expression, her child's face. And this is so important. We didn't get enough of this at this developmental age, which is why this personality pattern developed, because we didn't. This is so important what she's doing, because this is how the child starts to understand and get validated about his or her own internal experience. Mommy's showing me, oh, this is what I'm feeling inside. This is the request. Reflect me. Show me what I'm experiencing. And there's also a need, and the need is to individuate, to keep me safe, to set limits, and at the same time give me space. And this is so tricky at this developmental age, to give me space, keep me safe, keep me from acting out on every one of my impulses, which are not yet in my control. And then the task is self-discovery, right? That's what's going on. So many of you parents probably heard your kid come in at some point and go, Mommy, look what I made. Look at my, I made this poop and there's this fascinating thing coming out of my body. This is a total self-discovery period. You notice how he's got his hand in the toilet? So there's this like fascination with all of these things that are, you know, new to me in my world, in my life, in my developmental stage. And a child's play, when you see a child playing, that is their work. They're going to work today, and their work today is self-discovery and play, through play. Okay, the origin happening in this developmental stage, around 9 months to 2.5 years, this is a huge leap, right, in capability. So as you see, this little one here is just, we're going from crawling, sitting up, to feeding ourselves, to crawling, to being able to, you know, have to re-baby-proof the house at least 3 times. But what happened was the parent can't tolerate the child's separate self, their will, their power of expression, and attempts to crush it out of existence. Not because the parent is trying to be cruel or mean or bad, but because the parent is really confused about how to set safe boundaries for their child. They're trying to do the right thing by their child, for their child, to set those boundaries. And what they internally have a sense of doing in order to do that is just control the kid. So you can see the glee over here of the paint on his face, of the marker on his face. And he's so thrilled with what he's done here, his creativity. But imagine if instead the child is told, that was really bad what you did, right? And then we see, you know, the tears come and the child goes from this expanded state of excitation and self-discovery and creativity to maybe feeling shamed and humiliated. And that will bring us to, talking about the, let me just stop this chair for just a moment, to talking about the Facebook video that I asked you all to watch, right, to watch those two boys with the pin, which was absolutely endearing. And at the same time, you know, even though this wonderful father was doing his best that he knew how to do, right, there were so many pitfalls that happened, right? So here's these two kids who...
You stopped sharing, Laura.
Yes, I wanted to stop sharing for just a moment to talk about the Facebook video. How many of you got to watch that? Let me just see a show of hands. Did everybody get to see that video? Okay, good. Pretty much everybody did. And so... So many traps that man fell into, like, you know, what do I do? How do I set a limit? How do I tell my children that, you know, that was bad what they did, but at the same time, it was so creative what they did. So this is the tricky fine line. And then the confusion in that little boy, why are you laughing, Daddy? Why are you laughing? Right. And because the little boy truly is confused, you know, am I being punished? Did I do something bad? Did I do something funny? So all of this confusion is now there for that little boy, those little boys, about, you know, what actually happened. Okay. So we'll come back to this slideshow here. Okay. So this is the dilemma of how do I do this? And it's so challenging for the parent and so challenging for the child to go through this developmental stage. Okay, so then what happens is there's a battle of the wills, right? And since my will was broken, I fear my child's will. And this is the challenge, right, of what's up. So we see, you know, dad is just, and mom are just trying to take control, like, of the child, because when this kid acts out with his incredible, you know, needs, then it just evokes fear, anger, anxiousness in the parent. They don't know what to do, how to respond, because they didn't get that developmental stage complete for themselves. So what in actuality, what's going on is a really important stage is I'm just trying to find my power. Who am I? Where's my right to say no? When do I get to say no? here's another one with, we'd like to draw on our faces, don't we, when we're this age. I like to be able to say no. I like to do these things. But I don't know what's good and what's not good. I don't know when I might be hurting myself or hurting somebody else. And then the giant parent over here, this is really scary when this energy is coming at me. And so what happens is out of this, as you can see in this little girl's face, is shame of self-expression becomes born. Shame of expansion becomes born. And I have to start internalizing my no. I really have a no, but I can't show it. I have to start containing it, repressing it. You can see it here already in the mouth and the tightness here of holding in. You know, I'm not allowed to cry. I'm not allowed to express. I'm not allowed to expand. So take a deep breath, everybody, because it's painful even to look at these pictures sometimes, just to even look at this, the challenge, this dilemma that's going on. When the mother takes away this toy that I'm in a self-expressive moment about, the child actually feels like it's part of me that's being ripped away, not my toy, right, but me. So this is the dilemma. How do I balance this? So while we're talking about this, I want to invite you guys to put in the chat, if you'd like, how you are at graciously saying no to others or setting limits or boundaries around things you don't want to do that you want to say no to, or who are those you find most challenging in your life to say no to. So while I'm going through this, if things come to mind like that and you want to journal about it or put it in the chat to share, please feel free to do that. Okay, so we have... this is another really poignant picture. At this age, right, so he's learned compliancy already. You know, mother says, mommy's good boy gets a smiley balloon. I find this picture so ironic, right? Here's the balloon with the happy smile, and here's the child with the angry, contained, confused smile, right? And mommy's saying, mommy's good boy gets a smiley balloon. Smile and be happy. You should be happy, right? So we have the need, right? And the need is self-discovery. And the demand of finding who I am as an individual, separate self starts with my ability to understand the word no and to have the right to say no. And so this is my ask. This is my demand. In order to discover myself, my need of self-discovery, I find it initially through my right and ability to say no. When I say no, something bad happens. I'm dominated. I'm squashed. I'm overly controlled. I have to contain my no. I have to become compliant. And then I'm bad for expressing me. And this is the conclusion that gets drawn from that saying no. What happens is, and more often than not, what happens in this stage of wounding is that I get punished. I actually get punished. So here we see back here, right, there's a punishment that comes for saying no or expressing myself or stepping forward. And then I feel ashamed about who I am and my own natural desire to express and to expand. I get punished for that. So here we are at, out of this is born the compliant child, right? I'm going to be just like mommy. This picture just really says it all, right? I'm going to be just like mommy. I know how to get mommy's love. I'll be just like her. So fast forward to adult land when I grow up. Look at me, I'm going to be just like her, except I'm going to have a big no, and the no is, I'm not going to let myself be as pretty, I'm going to gain some weight, I'm going to have my own individual self that way, because I can't compete with mom, I can't have my own sense of expression with mom. Mom broke my will and implanted her own, right, and this is what's happening here. I learned how to look like mom, walk like mom, pose like mom, dress like mom. And any exercise of my self-will then as an adult serves her and not me. So therefore, you know, Kessler in his book, he says he calls it an autoimmune attack of the psyche. I thought that was pretty intriguing, especially for those of you who are working with people with autoimmune illnesses, right? This becomes an autoimmune attack of the psyche, and I'm sure it probably has some overlaps in autoimmune illnesses that you might be dealing with as health practitioners. So then what happens is all actions feel like demands. Even my own feels like a demand and feels like I have to be compliant. So there's an automatic resistance that starts to show up with every demand, even my own. I want to lose weight. No, I don't. No, I really don't. Because underneath that is this resistance, is this rebellion, this need and this desire to find and feel who I am. So taking deep breaths, everybody. Taking deep breaths. Okay. So what happens as the adult, when we grow up to be the adult? These are the characteristics, right? The emotional characteristics: guilt, shame, boundary confusion, self-sabotage. We'll be outwardly compliant, but inwardly resistant. Not on purpose. We don't want to even be inwardly resistant. It's like a knee-jerk that happens because it's how I found any sense of my individual self was through being resistant. Self-expression equals humiliation. So the only way I can show my resistance is, or my individuation is by being resistant. And I have to do it in a sneaky way, in a covert way. Because if I do it in an overt way through self-expression, I'll be humiliated. And that feels worse than hurting myself, okay? I'm going to say that one more time because it's really, if you get this, you've gotten a huge piece. The only way that I can feel safe to have my own individual expression is to hurt myself in a sneaky, covert way. Because if I do it in an overt way, if I express myself in an overt way, I'll be humiliated. That those little boys with the paint on their faces might have found it very humiliating to be laughed at by daddy in this very vulnerable stage of self-expression. You know, they were creating art on themselves. They were having a grand old time of really creation. And then not only are they being laughed at, they're being videotaped. Okay, so the parent brings this attitude of, I own you and everything that you do. I know what's best for you. You sure don't. So these might be some of the kind of parenting that some of you might have endured. And then what does it do for this one, you know, as an adult? If I disappoint her, she won't love me, right? So I learn how to hide my disappointment. I'll hurt myself. That will get you. This is oftentimes not a conscious intent, but a subconscious one. It's a subconscious, you know, anytime we do emotional eating, it's oftentimes that, you know, we talk about self-sabotage or hurting ourselves. We know we're hurting ourselves when we eat that second piece of pizza, or even that first piece of pizza, or whatever it is that we're doing, because there's something I'm trying to find, a power I'm trying to find within myself. But it gets coupled with this, I'm a loser and a failure because I can't control this need I have to individuate. I don't know how to do it without being humiliated, without this fear of humiliation. Very painful. So how does the energy expression look in relationship? So in this image here, we have, this is a wonderful merging person here. Would you please answer me? I need to connect with you. I need response from you. I want connection. I want to feel loved by you. And this one who's in the, you can't make me, right? You can't make me. This one is pulling energy, pull, pull, pull. Look at the eyes, right? You know, I need reassurance. I need validation. And this one's like, no, I'm going into my resistance. Don't make me tell you I love you yet one more time again. Okay, so there's resistance is the primary dynamic we're working with, both inside of ourselves and with others. This one, an example might be, this is hard, go ahead, but go ahead, I can take it. There's a really strong, you know, this is the person who will out-silence you in the silent treatment for decades. The one who will carry a grudge for years, who will never be the first one to give in, no problem. They have no problem holding that. And then also the feeling of burden, I have to carry it all. I'm the one who has to be responsible for everything. And I won't complain about that. I'll just keep quiet and be silent about it. And I love this image of these two elderly people who both have their stoic, no, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to give in to you. This is the enduring pattern. And it's so painful and it's so lonely. And we don't know how to find our way out of it. Okay, so this is... And how else it shows up for us as adults could be in unfinished projects, this huge in procrastination, incomplete of a degree, it's a quitting, it's a last minute giving up, anything to prevent calling attention to myself where I could be humiliated or embarrassed, which is like death for this person. Okay, so this is the double bind for the adult. Recourse is when we're not allowed to develop our own will, submission to the other person's will, becoming compliant, and having no sense of our own personal power. So if we had an angry parent or a dominating parent or a parent who we were afraid of or who we would get in trouble or punished, we really learned how to become oftentimes the good child, the submissive child, with no sense of our personal power, and that then it was too scary. Because if I ever assert my personal power as an adult, then I'm going to look as scary and be as mean as my parent, and there's no way I'm going to ever let myself do that. So then it could also show up as rebellion against the other person's will, where there's some sense of power and separateness. So when we get into an intimate relationship, oftentimes it will show up in this way as a form of where we're finally safe to be rebellious and to somebody else who is safe, that we know we can rebel against them without their going away, and that's where and it also can show up in your practice as the client who everything you say to them first they're going to say no, or you know it's the person who's, you know, no matter what the question is, the first answer is always no. But no usually means not right now. The no is not right now. I want to say yes when I feel like it. But if you're reactive to that no, if you're reactive when they say no right away, then you're going to really have a problem, not recognizing this person's need. It's usually temporary. The third thing you'll find often is not responding. It's the silent treatment, right? It's safer than potential humiliation of self-expression. They will be very methodical about their response. They'll be very contained about their response. It's too scary and too dangerous to give a direct and immediate response. And then the last thing they'll do is they'll shut down just before reaching or completing a goal. So the unconscious undermines and sabotages even our own conscious attempts at success. So I might have a great new food plan that I want to succeed at or a new exercise plan that I want to succeed at, but there'll be an unconscious pattern that will show up to sabotage it. And it usually looks like procrastination. You know, it'll be some form of resistance that oftentimes will look like procrastination. So what do? With the energy of that? We hold it in and we hold it down. We contract it. We hold it tightly, tight and close to the body. It might be slightly collapsed, as what Kimberly was describing earlier. The flow, although that's a similarity with the merging, there'll be a slight collapse with the merging. The flow will be feel stuck and stagnant, like a moving forward while going back, and really, really hard for this person to know for themselves or to trust for themselves what they really want, what they are actually experiencing even inside their own body. And what they're doing is they're kind of, you could say, recreating their punishing parent inside themselves, right? They're recreating their internal punishing parent. And so here's how it shows up. With their inner critic will be messages like, you know, whatever their parents said to them, you're stupid, you're lazy, you're a loser, you never finish anything you start. So underneath that inner critic is, don't call attention to yourself, you'll be made fun of. So this is where, we want to call on our neutral objective observer to observe ourselves when our inner critic comes up, and to call upon the higher self aspects, the gift aspects of this pattern, which is steadfastness, loyalty, sensitivity, understanding, compassionate. We're really, really good at giving those things to others because we knew that we know we're so sensitive to what they need. We're pretty not so good at giving it to ourselves. So the goal is to claim your own body, your own space, to feel safe, to expand and express yourself. This is the goal, and this is the challenge for this personality pattern. These goals, they sound really easy if you don't have a predominance of this pattern, but they're really tough when you have this pattern, and it's really can be challenging for us to know how challenging somebody else's pattern is to break out of. If you have a different personality pattern, you might just be thinking, well, what's the big deal? Just get over it, or just set a routine, or you get it. So what's the problem now, right? But what we're really addressing is that very young part of ourselves that is so tender about its right to grow up. Okay, so the gifts we touched on already just a little bit, to be sensitive. They're incredibly sensitive. They're incredibly grounded. They are the ones who can save the day in crisis. They're tolerant of other people's, tolerant of other people's explosiveness. Because they experienced so much of it themselves and learned how to be in control. So they're not usually shaken or afraid by other people's anger too much. They have a strength they have an inner strength around it when they're in their gift. They have a great sense of fairness. When something is fair and isn't fair, and a real loyalty to fairness. They're open-hearted, they're sincere. So this is when we're not in pattern, right? When we're not in pattern, we're incredibly tolerant of other people being not in pattern. They're open-hearted, they're sincere, they're non-judgmental. So beautiful, beautiful gifts that were also cultivated in this developmental stage. So in a minute, we're going to take a break, but I want to just talk through these last couple. I need me, right? This is the challenge here, to find who I am. And we're going to do a series of exercises in just a few minutes to help with that. And the need is to ground, to stay grounded, to find that it's safe to expand my energy, which is pretty tight and constricted and locked up and held down. And then that it's safe to actually express that energy and that I won't be humiliated when I do. So self-reference our core, which is really all of them, you know, in some capacity, that we have to learn how to self-reference our core. So before we do some interactive experiential stuff, I want to just see if there are any big questions that we have around that. Or how are you doing? How this is landing here? Are we still breathing?
I found when with that last picture, I saw myself over the years. I have been saving myself to the time when I can ground, expand, and express. It's like I've held all of this knowledge, all of this will, endurance very close because I knew at some point in my life I'd be an artist, I'd be a healer, I'd be able to do all of these things, write everything, but I held it. I wouldn't, I dropped out of college. I graduated, but I dropped out of my master's program. I do things and I stop. And it's all about the humiliation, you know, the feeling of not being good enough. And then this other part of me that knows I am, but I stop so I won't be humiliated. It's very revealing.
Wow, that's great. Thank you for sharing that, Dorothy. And yeah, and it's true. It's so potent, so powerful. And I'm so happy for you that you're at this place now where you're able to recognize it. And this artist is coming forward in you. Beautiful. And healer. Beautiful. Anybody else have questions or comments around that before we take a little break? Okay. So let's take a brief 5-minute break. I want you to get a heavy blanket available for yourself. I know it's really hot right now in a lot of places right now, but get a blanket out because we're going to not lie on the floor with it. We're going to do something else with it. And we're going to go through a series of exercises, of experiential pieces. And then we'll do the same thing that we've been doing. We'll break out into three small groups and do some sharing about the series of exercises that we're going to experience when we come back from the break. So it's 12:04. Let's just come back like in about 5 minutes. Okay. So certainly by 12:10. Okay.